Now, the next case that he mentions is that of Samson. Samson's story is found in Judges chapters 13 through 16. And we're just going to read a little bit about Samson. But Samson was a man who was the 13th judge of Israel. He judged Israel for 20 years. He was a Nazarite from his birth, which meant that he didn't drink any wine or strong drink, and that he didn't touch the razor to his head, and that he didn't contaminate himself with anything that was dead or unclean. And he was a man that had superhuman strength. He had great strength. He could slay, a dozen or so men at one time. He could meet a wild beast on the road and just tear him apart. One time he tore down the post of the gates of the city of the Philistines. Very great strength. And during his lifetime he smote the Philistines on several occasions and brought about great slaughter. And at this time the Philistines were one of the imminent enemies of the Israelites. As a matter of fact, it was because the Philistines were getting the upper hand that the Israelites finally decided we've got to have a king like they do so we can meet their ability to make war. Samson also was a man who was guilty of some grievous sins. For example, he married a woman who was a Philistine. Instead of marrying one of God's children, he married an outsider, a Philistine. And he always came to an end, he came to grief as a result of this. The Philistine women that he had to do with were always dealing with him treacherously and trying to trick him, and did successfully trick him. And among his other sins, he had a love affair with Delilah. And Delilah tried to find out what was the secret of his great strength. And he would tell her this and tell her that, bind me with green twigs and so on. And finally, though, he did tell her what his strength was, and it was in his long hair. And so one time when he was sleeping with his head on her lap, she had some men to come and cut off his long locks. And then he lost his strength, and they captured Samson. They not only captured Samson, the Philistines did, but they put his eyes out. And so as I read through the story of Samson, the thing that comes to my mind as his example of faith is in the last part of the 16th chapter of Judges, beginning with the 23rd verse. When Samson now had had his strength taken away, he'd been captured and had his eyes put out, and his hair had grown back some, and he had evidently regained his strength. Begin with verse 23 of Judges 16. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon their god, and to rejoice. For they said, our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. So here was Samson now among the Philistines, in which he spent a lot of his time, and he asked for a lot of this problem that he was enduring here. But he was now a prisoner. The lords and the great people of the Philistines were having this great gathering, and they were celebrating to Dagon their god. You know, when we studied the other night in Isaiah about the city of Ashdod, we learned that it was the headquarters of Dagon. It was where the temple of Dagon was and where the idol was. And so this was more than likely at the city of Ashdod. And when the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. Now this is a very great example to us as to how we can bring reproach upon the church. Samson was a man of God. He was a judge in Israel, and he'd fought many battles and won them for the people of God. But now, because of his indiscretions and poor judgment, he was a captive of the Philistines. And so the Philistines rejoice, and they're saying, "Why, we give praise to our God because our God has delivered our great enemy into our hands." And so it is with us today when we go out into the world and sin and set a poor example to the world and live a life of sin, whatever that sin may be. It can be a little light sin, or it can be a sin of the very depths of depravity and debauchery that even the world knows is something that's wrong. And yet when they see us do it, they say, "Well, I'm going to stick with what I've got in the way of religion, because looky there what those people are doing. Look at the kind of life he's living or she's living. Look what they're doing. Even I know that that's wrong. They can't tell me anything about what's right and what's wrong because they're setting such a sorry example of their belief." So Samson really caused Dagon to receive praise. "And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, 'Call for Samson, that he may make us sport.' And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars." Now this must have been a fairly large place, and I don't know exactly what kind of sport it was that Samson was making for them, but it might have been demonstrations of his great strength, or it might have been wrestling with a wild beast, or I don't know what it was. Doesn't say. "And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, 'Suffer me that I may fill the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them.'" Samson had to be led around by a lad because he was blind. And so he asked this lad, "Let me fill the pillars that this house rests upon so I can lean upon them." "Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there, and there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport." 3,000 men and women. Some interpret this to mean 6,000. 3,000 men and 3,000 women, but nevertheless, we know that there was at least 3,000 there. Now in verse 28, I think we have the example of Samson's faith. Here he is in this state of blindness. He's a prisoner. He's making sport for his enemies, or he's entertaining them. And so we hear his plea to God. "And Samson called unto the Lord and said, 'O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once.'" He's asking for one more chance now to do what he can for the cause of the Lord. He's torn down probably all the good influence that he's ever had up to this time. Dagon's being praised because of Samson. And the Lord is being degraded because of Samson. So he says, "O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once. O God, that I may at once avenge of the Philistines for my two eyes." So he's bound to have had a great amount of faith now to have ushered this prayer to God and have believed that it was going to be brought about. "And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand, and of the other with his left. And Samson said, 'Let me die with the Philistines.' And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life." So Samson brought himself to death as he then had this one final victory over the Philistines and slew more then than he had all the rest of the days of his life. So I feel that this is the example of Samson's faith. And you know, if we see that we're living a life that is of such a nature that it's going to bring reproach upon the church, that it's going to cause persons to think less of God and to think more of their idols, whatever their idols may be, because of our life, then that's the time for us to have a renewal of our faith. That's the time for us to call upon the true and living God. "O Lord God, strengthen me this once. Let me now overcome this. Let me now be a shining example of thy servant, as was Samson. It's never too late to turn. It's never too late to have the faith that the Bible teaches us about, which is a belief in the power of God's Word. Well, the next example that he gives us is that of Jephthah. The story of Jephthah is found in Judges 11, 1 through 12, 7. Jephthah was a son of Gilead, but he was the son by a concubine. So that Gilead had a wife who had children, but because Jephthah was the son of a concubine, that is, of a strange woman, Gilead's wife's children forced Jephthah out of the house. They made him leave home. And so he was kind of like an orphan, you might say. But he must have been a man of great talent and ability and faith, because he made quite a name for himself. And he even became the ninth judge of Israel, and he distinguished himself chiefly for his victories over the Ammonites and the Ephraimites. And we find that how this came about was that Jephthah was out of really contact or direct relationship with the Israelite people. But the Ammonites were making war on Israel. And so they felt like that Jephthah would be the man who could lead them to victory. And so they approached Jephthah to come and assist us. And he said, "Oh, you kicked me out? And now you ask me when you have time of help, you ask me to come and help." And he said, "If I come and if I help, will I then be given a place of honor among you?" And they assured him that he would. And so he asked the Ammonites, he said, "Why do you make war with us? Why are you making this war?" And the Ammonites said, "Well, we make war because your people have taken all of these cities of ours and they occupy a part of our territory." And Jephthah sent the message back and he said, "Well, really what happened is, whenever the Lord started to give Israel this country and they wanted to come up through the country to the south and they couldn't, they had to go all the way around and they wanted to come through Ammon and Ammon wouldn't let them come through. And so the Lord then just took this country for them so they could come through. And anything our Lord gives us as a possession, we keep it as a possession." And he says, you've lived here for some 300 years and we possess this and you haven't worried about it till now. Why don't you go ahead and keep the part that your God gives you? You occupy a territory. You believe your God gave you that territory. You keep what your God gave and let's keep what our God gave us." But Ammon wouldn't listen to this. They made war anyway. And so Jephthah saw then that he was going to have to enter into war with Ammonites. So in verse 29 of chapter 11 of Judges, "Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed over Gilead and Manasseh, and passed over Mizpah of Gilead, and from Mizpah of Gilead he passed over under the children of Ammon." Here he was right on the battlefield, now ready to make war. And Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, "If thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into mine hands, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth out of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the children of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering." Now this is a vow that Jephthah made, and many people think that he made an extremely rash vow here in verse 31. For he says, "If you give me the victory, Lord, whenever I go back home in peace, then whatever comes out of the door of my house first, I'm going to deliver it up to thee and I'm going to offer it up as a burnt offering." Well, we're going to find that the first thing that came out of the door was his only daughter. But let's look for a moment at the vow. This vow, according to some of the scholars, is not really properly translated in the King James, verse 31. Instead of saying, "It shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering," it's really saying, "I will consecrate it to the Lord, or I will offer it up for a burnt offering," whichever would be appropriate. Certain animals would have been suitable for a burnt offering. Certain animals would not have been suitable for a burnt offering. And the Lord had always abhorred a human sacrifice. A human sacrifice that was never really offered up to the Lord that I can remember. And so this is really probably saying, "I will consecrate it to the Lord, or I will offer it up for a burnt offering." And we find that in Leviticus 22, verses 1 through 5, or rather 27, 1 through 5, that there's even provision made there for anything that was consecrated to the Lord, how that it could be bought back from that consecration. Well, in verse 32, "So Jephthah passed over unto the children of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered him into his hands, and he smote them from Aroer even till thou come to Minnith, even 20 cities, and under the plain of the vineyards, with a very great slaughter. Thus the children of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. And Jephthah came to Mizpah unto his house, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him with timbrels and with dances, and she was his only child. Besides her, he had neither son nor daughter. And it came to pass when he saw her that he rent his clothes and said, 'Alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low, and thou art one of them that trouble me, for I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back.'" Now here is the act of faith of Jephthah. He told the Lord that if you'll give me the victory, that the first thing that comes out of the door of my house, I'm going to give it to you. And so he did get the victory. And here comes his daughter, his only child. Didn't have any other son nor daughter, only this daughter. And he said, "I've opened my mouth unto the Lord and I cannot go back. I'm going to have to live up to what I have based my whole premise upon in this battle and in this victory. I've based it all upon the fact that I am going to dedicate the first thing that comes out of my house to the Lord." And it makes us remember in our lives today, how many times may we be faced with a very similar situation. We're up against a hard decision. We don't know exactly which way to go. And we pray to the Lord that if all we'll be given the victory, if all we'll get out of this terrible strait that we're in, then I'll be even more faithful. I'll study harder. I'll study more. I'll endeavor to start doing something that I've been needing and wanting to do but been putting off. I'll do this. I'll do that. I'm going to get closer to the Lord. So we find then that the Lord does get us through that terrible situation, that whatever it is. And rather than that, go ahead and follow through with our pledge and our promise and dedication, we just kind of grow slack again. Say, "Well, it all worked out. How nice. I'll just relax now." We forget of the faith, of the premise that we were operating on when we were so desperately needing the victory. But not so with the man Jephthah. He saw this was going to be a terrible sacrifice for him, his only daughter. But he says, "I've opened my mouth to the Lord and I cannot go back." And she said unto him, "My father, if thou hast opened thy mouth unto the Lord, do to me according to that which hath proceeded out of thy mouth. For as much as the Lord hath taken vengeance for thee of thine enemies, even of the children of Ammon." And she said unto her father, "Let this thing be done for me. Let me alone 2 months, that I may go up and down upon the mountains and bewail my virginity, I and my fellows." And he said, "Go." And he sent her away for 2 months, and she went with her companions and bewailed her virginity upon the mountains. And it came to pass at the end of 2 months that she returned unto her father, who did with her according to his vow which he had vowed, and she knew no man, and it was a custom in Israel. Now there are some who think that he offered her up as a burnt offering. But I really believe that what it means is he consecrated her to the Lord, that she knew no man, she was a virgin from that time on, and was then dedicated to the service of the Lord, and he gave her this 2-month period to go and bewail her virginity as she went up and down the mountains and declared it to her fellows as to what was going to happen. That the daughters of Israel went yearly to lament the daughter of Jephthah, the Gileadite, 4 days and a year. And so this is the example then of the faith of Jephthah. As we said, he was a judge of the ninth judge of Israel, and he was a man who, when he made a vow to the Lord, he certainly lived up to his vow. Now the next case that we have is an example of faith is that of David.